Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you, as we gather together in your name, you be in our midst, and you fill us with the Holy Spirit, and so that we know the truth. And the truth will set us free, and help us not to be under the bondage of our sins, for you have already given us the freedom and set us free from all sins. On top of that, because of your word, you want us to serve you with the right attitude, and serve you with holiness and with godliness all the days of our life until we see you face to face. And I pray that you speak to us this evening, and so that we understand what you have to say to us, and we're going to follow your way until we see you face to face. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Philemon. Etta, could you read that?
The whole thing?
Yep.
Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of everything good we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would like to have kept him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Damas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Isn't it, it's kind of funny, it's far away, then it's not really that recording the your voice, I don't know. We'll see.
No, it still records.
It still records?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's take a look. Philemon chapter 1, that's only one chapter, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friends, and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meet in your home. So, let's see. This letter is not only written it to Philemon, Paul, dear friends. Also, that Philemon is Paul's fellow worker in Christ Jesus. And this letter also written to our sister of fears, and also to Archippus, our fellow soldier. If soldier means soldier in Christ, is the one who preaching the gospel. When Paul saying that I'm fighting a good fight, it's not so much fighting a physical fight, it's a fighting a spiritual battle. When you preach the gospel, you're more or less like fighting a spiritual battle against Satan, against the Antichrist. Okay? And verse 3, grace to you and grace to Philemon. And also to the church that meet in your home. So in other words, Philemon is a godly brother, okay? He's a dear friend of Paul, is a fellow worker in Christ with Paul, and also within his home, they have a meeting place. You know, in those earlier days, they don't rent a place like we are doing it now. They gathering together every Sunday in their own home, and to have a home church just like people in mainland China. Okay? And Paul sent greeting to them too. Okay? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the common greeting that sent by Paul. And then in verse 4, the reason why he write this letter, he has one person in mind, is Onesimus. Onesimus, okay? Onesimus is also used to be a slave to Philemon. Philemon is the brother attending the church both in his own house, also in Colossae. People gather together in some other place in Colossae every Sunday. There's a worship place there. Verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayer. So Paul know that Onesimus has sins against God and also has sins against Philemon. And Paul, before he write that letter, he want to make sure the letter that he write to Philemon will change his heart towards Onesimus, who sins against him by running away. So in those days, a slave is like that. More or less, you go to a marketplace, and that slave stand in the table, walk around, just like you buy an oxen, you know, in a marketplace. The owner move the oxen around, and you take a look at it, and you give a place, you bid the price. Okay, the high bid, get the oxen and get the slave too. So in other words, some people are so poor. And he say himself to be your slave. But that guy, he get the money, and not being a slave to Philemon, he run away. That means he's stealing people money, right? It's a death penalty. You don't do that in those days. Because when you sell yourself to be a slave to someone, so you have to work for him, okay? Well, unless you pay back the money. But that fellow didn't pay back the money. He walked away. And somehow, running away from the city of Colossae. And then he go to where Paul is. And he get into problem. He was locked up in prison. Lo and behold, in prison, he met Paul. him a point. Paul lead him to Christ and ask him, wow, why, you know, what's wrong with you? And then he, you know, he tell Paul, you know, all this kind of background. Oh, I used to be a slave of Philemon. Oh, Philemon? Philemon is my brother, my friend, my fellow worker. Okay, now that I see that your life is changed, I'm going to write a letter on behalf of you to Philemon. So, but Paul, afraid that when he write the letter, ask him to release him, let him go. You know, that means he lose the money. He may not like it. But Paul prayed for him. So Paul say in verse 4, I always thanks my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus, and I hear about your love for all the saints. Wow, you know, that's just like saying that you've done a good job. You know, if you've done a good job so far, you better keep on doing a good job, because now, you know, I got some requests for you to do, you know, like let go of Onesimus, okay? So we learn this kind of trick, okay? Is a good way. Whenever you have any request, you say, okay, you better do it too, okay? You don't just say, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayer. You better do it first, okay? Don't just lie. And because I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. If your love for all the saints, that means your love is genuine love. Your love for all the saints means you love God. I want you to write it down. Your love for all the saints, right beside verse 5, that kind of love is a genuine love. That kind of love means he really loves God. I want you to write down 1 John chapter 5, if I remember right, is verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Love his child, that means love for all the saints. Okay? 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. You're right beside your love for all the saints, right beside for all the saints. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Now I want to stop here. If you claim to love God and yet you do not love God's child, your love is not genuine. You lie to me. You don't love God. God is the one you cannot see. If you cannot love what you see, like brother and sister in front of you, how can you love God that you have never seen him? Okay? So, and I want you also write down other than chapter 5, verse 1. I want you to write it down verse 19, chapter 4, verse 19, all the way to 21. 19 to 21. We love because he first loved us. If anyone say, I love God, yet hate his brother, he is a liar. He's not love God. He did not love God. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Verse 21. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother, loves God's child. So, Philemon has a genuine love for God and for his sin. So I want you to write down 4:19 to 21. 4:19 to 21. The faith that he has is a genuine faith, because I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus. If you say that If I say that you have a genuine faith, that means your faith, that faith lead you to eternal life. I want you to write down genuine faith. That faith is a genuine faith. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 22. Who is a liar? It is the man who denied Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denied the Father and the Son. No one who denied the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Today, we went to General Hospital this afternoon. And we go to the fifth floor. We met an old lady. She claimed herself to be a Jew. And I asked her, do you believe in Jesus Christ? She said, certainly not. And she said, I believe in one God. I say, you do not believe in God if you do not have Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He said, no. So he's a liar. Inside her body, she didn't have the Holy Spirit. She has the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible clearly stated that. Who is the liar? It is the man who denied Jesus is the Christ. And such a man is the Antichrist. He denied the Father and the Son. Verse 23. No one who denied the Son has the Father. He denied, I believe in one God. But he denied Jesus Christ. Whoever acknowledges the Son, Jesus Christ, has the Father also. You deny Jesus, that means you do not believe in God. Can anyone tell me what's the proof of that? Why you deny Jesus? You don't have God. So I'm saying that this fellow has a genuine faith. I hear your faith in the Lord Jesus. That faith is a genuine faith. I want you to write it down. 1 John chapter 2, 22 to 23. That kind of faith is a genuine faith. Can anyone tell me what's the reason why? If I do not believe in Jesus Christ, I do not believe in God. First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. And verse 10. Anyone who believes in the sons of God believe in Jesus Christ. Has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this eternal life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. What is the reason if you do not believe in his Son Jesus Christ, you do not believe in God? Can anyone tell me in one sentence? What's the reason? If I do not believe in Jesus is the Christ, if I do not believe Jesus the Son of God, that means I don't believe in God. What's the reason?
Because you do not believe in the testimony that God gave, that Jesus Christ is his Son, and you make God out to be a liar.
So Jesus, he claimed himself to be the Christ, he claimed himself to be the Son of God, is based upon what God said to him. Based upon the Old Testament, based upon the New Testament. And yet you say, I don't believe in what the Old Testament and New Testament say. That means you do not believe in God. That's exactly what happened to the Jewish people. brother and sister, I would like to encourage you, spend more time on the Word of God. Otherwise, we are in a dangerous zone of deserting God that we don't even know. And he thought, you know, I believe in God. One God. Only one God. I say, no. You can only believe in God through Jesus Christ. On top of that, Jesus said, what I say is what God wants me to say. What I do is what God wants me to do. Why? Because God lives in me. I do what he do. I say what he wants me to say. I never do my own thing. So you do not believe in that, that means you do not believe in God. And what's the proof of that? That's written in the Old Testament. That's why we study in the last few weeks in John, Gospel of John, chapter 18 and 19. And, you know, while Jesus was being crucified, persecuted by the Jewish people, when he said, when he replied them, answered their question, he said everything that is recorded in the Old Testament. So you do not believe in what he said, that means you do not believe in the Old Testament, nor believe in New Testament. If I say I believe in God, I better believe in his word. Through his word, we can believe in Jesus and we can believe in God. So I want you to write it down. So that Philemon has genuine faith because his faith, he's a Jewish people too, right? His faith is in the what? In the Lord Jesus. He believed Jesus is Lord. He believed Jesus is the Christ. He believed Jesus is the Son of God. That kind of faith is a genuine faith. So you also write down chapter 5, verse, well, I want to begin with verse 9. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater. It's greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his son. So chapter 5, verse 9, all the way to 12. Chapter 5. 9 to 12. And I say his faith is a genuine faith. Because that kind of faith can lead him to eternal life. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And as far as that Jewish lady is concerned, she thinks she's right. She thinks I am wrong. What do you know? You are a Gentile believer. And she didn't even believe that I am a pastor. I take a photograph and showing that my name with the word Reverend. Reverend John Lamb, he said, wow, good for you. He said, good for you. Damien, I don't really believe it, but what can I say? You know, you understand what I'm trying to say? Oh, that lady. But I tell you one thing. If she passed away, I believe God going to let me to judge her. I say, on December the 17th,
I will be the witness.
You will be the witness. On December the 17th, I went to General Hospital and I met you. I share the gospel to you. And you despise me. You look down upon me. You do not believe in man's testimony, nor do you believe in God's testimony. You do not read the Bible. Oh, man. She will be in deep trouble. Okay? Because before we went there, I prayed that God let me meet the right people. Do what he wants me to do. And I believe he loves his people too, Jewish people. So allow me to meet that lady. And she, you know, she refused to let us go. She keep wandering around us, you know, and keep asking us questions. Who are you? Why are you coming here? You know? Oh, wow. Then I share the gospel. I say, I also want you to write it down right beside here. Gospel of John. You write down Gospel of John 14. 6. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And she thought she can come to the Father through the Old Testament, through the Bible. But she didn't even read the Bible. She listened to what the rabbi said, the Jewish rabbi, of course. And yet, trusting people saying, trusting man testimony, and you yourself do not read God's word. And she was deceived by rabbi. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So when you have faith in the Lord Jesus, that faith is lead you to have eternal life. That's a genuine faith. It's good faith. And Philemon not only has genuine faith as a Jewish Christian, Philemon also has a what? Philemon also has the genuine love, because his love is for all the same. That means he loves God. Okay? Now, when you have faith in Jesus, that means you have faith in God. You understand? When you have faith in brother and sister, that means, okay, I'm sorry. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, that means you have faith in God. If you have love for brother and sister, that means you have love for Holy God, the Father. This fellow believed in the right thing. And this fellow and did the right thing too. And loved brother and sister. What did I say, Daniel?
That if you love your brother and sisters, then that you love God.
Is it genuine love or counterfeit love?
Genuine love.
What about faith in Jesus Christ?
And if you have faith in Jesus Christ, then you have faith in God.
Is it genuine or counterfeit faith?
Genuine.
Now, brother and sister, if someone tell me I believe in God, he may not believe in God. If someone tell me I believe in God through Jesus Christ, he believe in the right God. Does it make sense? All right. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayer, because I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. That is a good reason to thank God in your prayer. Because if you remember certain brother and sister, and he or she has a genuine faith, genuine love, definitely that fellow not only have eternal life, that fellow have eternal glory. I want you to write it down. Because God is his God who give him not only eternal life. Genuine faith give him eternal life. And genuine love give him what? Eternal glory. He will be king with us. Okay? That Philemon. Now, verse 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. So, having faith in Jesus Christ is the beginning. And having love for all the saints is also the beginning. He proceeds to go and say, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. I want to stop here. What is the reason why Paul praying like that? I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. What happens if I share your faith? Do you have to prepare? When you share your faith, do you have to listen to your pastor more attentively? Because next time you're going to share, you're not going to make a fool of yourself. You better prepare yourself, right? You don't go to the church without a Bible. You're going to bring a marker and everything to write down everything that you learn. Because when you write down and someone asks your faith, and you open the Bible, read through the Bible verses, you read through it and you recall what you have learned, right? So it's good. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Daniel, are you active in sharing your faith? Or you just come just to listen? Are you active in sharing your faith?
Yes.
How?
I'm bringing a pencil and writing down everything.
Oh, bringing your pencil, bringing the Bible. You're not active in sharing your faith, man. You have to go and share the faith. Call your friend. Do you have any account in Facebook? email account? Do you write any email to any of your friends?
No.
So you don't write email? You don't even spend time in the computer? Is it right? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Do you play games?
Then I ask Sally then. Do we have account in Facebook? Do you share your conversation in the Facebook, your feeling, your idea, thing like that?
Like with my friend.
Why? Anything you like to share with your friend? I'm not asking you what you share. Okay, it's secret. Okay, that's okay. You have a boyfriend?
No.
Okay, girlfriend?
Yeah.
A lot, but. Did you share with your friends what you hear in the Bible? And do you know that if someone who has never heard about Jesus Christ, and when they die, very, very lightly, should go to hell? Do you want your good friends to go to hell? So what should you do?
Share the gospel.
So that's exactly what Paul praying for Philemon. I pray that you, Philemon, may be active in sharing your faith. Some brother and sister, they have a genuine faith, believe in the right thing, and they have genuine love, and do the right thing, love for all the same. And yet, we don't grow. You know what? If I'm active in sharing my faith, I will grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to write it down. Maybe active in sharing your faith. Right beside that, active. Right beside active, you write it down. Let me see. 2 Peter 3:18. And this is part of the growing process for a Christian. You want to grow? You have to ask yourself, are you active in sharing your faith? And that's what Paul, and that's what Peter praying for the saint in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. You know what did he say? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to grow in the grace. We have to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way for us to grow is to be active in sharing your faith. Because the more active you are more active forcing yourself to study God's word. It's more blessed to give than to receive. When you try to share your faith, people are going to argue with you. People are going to defend themselves. People are going to fight back. When they fight back, wow, you say, oh, I'm not prepared. I don't know. How come you answer like that? And I'm not prepared. I lose. When you lose, next time you study the Bible, you listen to a sermon, you pay more attention to it. Then hopefully, through listening, you prepare yourself how to fight a battle next time. Better. I mean spiritual battle. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I believe each and every one of us has to pray for ourselves that we may be active in sharing our faith. If we are active in sharing, people are going to defend themselves and give you all kind of reason not to believe. And if you are not strong in your faith, you fall back like them. But if you're strong in your faith, you not only you will not stumble, and yet you can lead them to Christ. You know, just like today, I talked to that Jewish lady. She very firmly saying, "We only believe in one God." She said it affirmatively. Very strong, and make that declaration, make that statement. When I come back, I say to myself, how many Christians can say it so firmly? or what he or she believes. When someone tried to share Jesus Christ to her, she rejected Jesus. She said, Jesus is not God. I only believe in one God. And then I say to myself, next time if I say to if I meet this kind of lady, how should I prepare for this battle? And I said to her, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. She didn't buy it. And next time I would say, do you read Isaiah? You say you believe in one God. Do you know how God testified about Jesus Christ? Take a look at Isaiah 53. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. Do you know what's the name of this son? His name is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus Christ. And I can prove that to you in the book of Isaiah. This is how God makes the testimony about his own son. I can study in Isaiah chapter 40, before Jesus Christ come, before the Lord God Almighty appear to his people, first come John the Baptist in the wilderness. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 to 5, I would say to you, do you know that? You do not believe, you say you believe in God, but you do not read Isaiah. You do not understand Isaiah, and you say you believe in God. Do you know how Jesus was buried? He buried with a rich man. Do you know that? And you say you believe in Isaiah because you believe in Old Testament. And yet you do not believe that. Jesus Christ has already fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah has said in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 1 all the way to chapter 66. You understand what I'm trying to say? So we better be active in sharing our faith. You make your pencil sharpen. And you're prepared every time. Okay? And you know what? If you do not study the Bible and people say, wow, I only believe in one God. And then you say to yourself, looks like I believe in two God. But in fact, Jesus say, I and the Father are one. It's one God. But if you do not have that Gospel of John chapter 10 verse 30, I and the Father are one, then your faith will be shaken. I believe in one God. Look like you believe in the right thing. And you believe in the wrong thing. But when you have the Word of God, then you know, thanks God, I got a genuine faith. You understand? So, active in sharing your faith will strengthen your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? On top of that, if you teach other people what the Lord has taught you, according to Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, and I will be with you always from now until eternity. And you sense the very presence of our Lord Jesus Christ live within you. And just like what Jesus Christ said, my Father live in me, I live in him. When you are active in sharing your faith, you live in Jesus and Jesus live in you. So right beside active in sharing your faith, other than chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 18 of 2 Peter, you write down Matthew 28, verse 20. Active in sharing your faith, you sense the fulfillment of Matthew. You sense the fulfillment of Matthew 1, 23. What's the name of Jesus? Called Emmanuel, God with us. When you are active in sharing your faith, you sense God lives in you through Jesus Christ. You understand? It is for your own good. That's why Paul is saying that in Acts. That's why Paul is saying that in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to be active in sharing your faith than active in listening to gospel. You understand? You're listening, that means someone sharing it to you. It's good to be able to hear the genuine gospel. But even better for you to share the genuine gospel. Could you read these three passages one more time? 2 Peter 3:18, Matthew 28:20, and Acts chapter 20 verse 35. So it's good for us, brother and sister, to be active in sharing your faith, so that your faith will be strengthened, so that you know what you believe. Could you read that?
2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Matthew 1.
28:20.
And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
So that means when you're sharing, active in sharing, right? And teaching others to obey what the Lord commanded you to do, the Lord, you sense his presence. Matthew 1:23, what's the name of Jesus other than 1:23? Read that. Matthew.
The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
So if Jesus is with you until the end of the world, that means God is with you. It is for your own good. Okay? So your faith will be strengthened. And then I want you to write down 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, what else? You read all the Acts 20, 35?
In everything I did, I showed you that by this kindness of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
So it's more blessed to share than to hear, right? Well, you either hear the gospel or you share the gospel, right? After you heard it, after you believed in the Lord Jesus, you better share, okay? And then 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. That's why I'm suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. If you're active in sharing your faith, then you will know whom you have believed. It's for your own good, right? So you write down 2 Timothy 1:12. I think it's good enough Bible verses to encourage you to be active in sharing your faith. And that's your prayer item, okay? You say, Lord, I pray that I may be active in sharing my faith. What's the reason Paul saying? So that you will have a full understanding. A full understanding of every good things we have in Christ. If you are active in sharing your faith, you will have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. First of all, 2 Timothy 1:12, you know whom you believe. You know you believe in the right thing. Secondly, you know that God is with you. Thirdly, you know that it's more blessed to share than to hear. Fourthly, I sense that His name called Emmanuel is fulfilling my life because I share. I sense His presence, right? You have a better understanding, a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. Jesus Christ wants to be with you. Jesus Christ want to co-work with you, want to be your fellow worker. Right? And on top of that, you grow in faith. You grow in grace. You grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good. So that's what Paul says. I give more specific reason why you should share your faith. And Paul just make a general statement saying that you will have a full understanding of every good things we have in Christ. And someone say, oh, do you know that if you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit can enter into your heart? When you share the gospel, you sense that the Holy Spirit is sustaining you and helping you to testify. Then you know that when someone say, oh, do you believe that? Do you know that Holy Spirit is with you? Then sometime, you know, you doubt. Where's the Holy Spirit? I've never seen Holy Spirit. But when you are active in sharing your faith, the Holy Spirit is at work in you. When you're active in sharing your faith, you don't want to make a fool of yourself. You're going to study the scripture. When you study something you used not to understand, that certain portion of the scripture, and all of a sudden you understand. You have a full understanding of every good things we have in Christ. And on top of that, when you are active in sharing your faith, forcing you to be in Christ. Because apart from me, you cannot bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And besides, when you share, according to Matthew chapter 28:20, I will be with you. Forcing you to be in Christ Jesus. Because He don't want you to... He doesn't want you to fight the battle alone. He wants to go with you. You understand? So that's good. So what do you learn, Daniel?
That you should be active in sharing your faith.
So what are you going to do when you get home tonight?
You should read the Bible.
You read the Bible first? And what else after you read the Bible?
I should start sharing
on Facebook.
On the Facebook?
I should start sharing with my friends.
Yeah. You know what? Wasting time in the Facebook to say something else is meaningless. But if you say, you know what? Today I have a Bible study. I thought, have the genuine faith is good already. I thought, a faith without love, without action, that faith is counterfeit faith. And I think I'm okay. I have the faith in the Lord Jesus. It's a genuine faith. It's a good faith. Lead me to eternal life. I thought it's good enough. And I thought my love for all the saints is good already. Lo and behold, and Paul writing a letter to Philemon, and I realized Paul not only give thanks to this brother, Philemon, for having a genuine faith, genuine love, because faith without action, faith without love, that faith is of no value to you. And I have a good faith, I have good love, and I think I'm all set. And yet, the pastor saying to me, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Wow, this is eye-opening. Hey, you Christian, don't you know that? We should be active in sharing our faith. You know what? Lo and behold, this is what I'm doing now. And then bye. And then he read the whole thing, right? And they say bye. Don't keep doing it, okay? You just say bye. Shut it off. And then they're going to reply to you. try that, okay? Are you going to try? Now, I want you to prove it.
Prove what?
Stand behind her back. See, see, see. Before you click, do you have to click send? How do you communicate in Facebook?
Enter.
You type it and then send, right? Just
yeah.
Like email, right? Before you write whatever you want, just like what I said. Before you send, ask Etta to be around. Click. And then send it, okay?
Send to Etta.
Not send to Etta. You don't need to send to Etta. Come on. You said you be active in sharing your faith to others, okay? Other member of the household, not of your own household. Or you can share to your father and mother. That's fine, okay? But I want all the other Christians to know that. Hey, today I have a Bible study. I thought I'm okay already. And lo and behold, Paul prayed for Philemon. And with that, and I found out I fall short of the requirement of Paul's prayer. And when the godly people pray like that, that is what God wants us to do. And yet I found out I'm okay, so far so good, and yet I found out that's no good. So compared with the standard of what the Bible required me to do, and I'm fall short of it. Right? You thought you're pretty good. And yet, until you read the Bible, I'm not active in sharing my faith. So that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So after I shared, lo and behold, everybody watch me. I want you to hold me accountable to that. I want to see the fulfillment of these Bible verses, Philemon 1:6. I want to have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ Jesus. I want to receive that kind of good blessing. And I will let you know what kind of blessing. One by one, I'm going to count that and write to you. You got that? You promise? Right? Okay, I'm Etta? Okay. Etta, you do the same too. And then you're gonna before you click it, and then you want to see that too, okay? Wow, that's good. Wow, that's cool. People gonna... Hey, what Paul saying? Romans 8:17. If I share in his suffering, I definitely will share in his glory. People are going to say, Etta, stop that, okay? Don't ever send me this kind of stuff. He won't say obscene. He say think that I don't quite like it, okay? I'm not ready for it. And then he say, well, you don't apologize for you're not ashamed of the gospel. You say, well, I love you. And then they click and they go, okay? That's it. Now, he said, I love you. I hope you understand later. Verse 7. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the heart of all the saints. When Paul see that his friend, dear friend, his fellow worker, not only has genuine faith, but has genuine love for all the saints. And that really give the pastor a great joy, great encouragement, and cheer him up to pray, to give thanks to God as I remember you in my prayer. Do you want Pastor John to remember you in his prayer with thanksgiving? You know what? When I found out, wow, you did share the gospel. Whether he come to this church or not, this is two different stories. Whether you do your job or not, this is another story. We have to do our part. Whether you come here or come to another church or don't even come, leave it to God. But my responsibility is to share, be active in sharing. It's God's responsibility to save or not save him. or her. You understand? We got to do our own, we got to do God's word, okay? You know what? If that, if this kind of love for all the saints has given the pastor great joy and great encouragement, and when Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit, do you think that it will give the great joy and great encouragement to Jesus Christ? Do you think? I think so. It gives great joy and great encouragement to God too. And you make God happy. I tell you, you make the pastor happy, pastor will always thank God as he remember you in his prayer. And you make God happy, God gonna bless you, I tell you. Okay? God gonna bless you. Nothing will make God happy and have great joy and great encouragement if you refresh the heart of the saint. How do I refresh the heart of the saint? By loving them. That is the commandment that Jesus gave it to us through Apostle John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Could you read that? This is God's commandment for us. To believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and to love one another according to what he commanded us to do. Could you read that? 3:23.
And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and to love one another as he commanded us.
When Jesus Christ said, oh, I commanded you to love one another, and your love for all the saints, he loved it. Paul didn't say your love for just one saint. And your love for all the saints, and you have refreshed the heart of the saints, plural, you've done a good job. You not only show your kindness and love, trust one people, one person, to numerous person. Oh, that give great joy to the pastor, encouragement to the great to the pastor. And the pastor will keep praying for you. Pray that God will give you more grace upon you, more strength, and more love, and more blessing, and more reward. And after Paul said that, you know why Paul saying in chapter 1, verse 4-7, if you have done that, if you have refreshed the heart of the saint, could you do one more thing? Refresh the heart of Onesimus. Show kindness and love. You know what kind of love he's talking about? I want you to circle the word love. Your love. Right beside your love, you write down 1 John. I want you to write down the definition of love, because sometimes people misuse the word love and they misunderstood what it means by love, because they don't know the definition of love in God's terminology. Chapter 3, verse 16, 1 John. That's the definition of God's love. This is how we know what love is. This is how we know what love is. That means this is how we know the definition of God's love. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brothers. You understand? God's love means sacrificial love. You have to suffer. You have to sacrifice. You have to pay for it. And now, let go of Onesimus. That means you lose some money. That's sacrificial love. That's love for the saint. That's love for God. And that's exactly how God treats us. By dying on the cross for our sins. And you're willing to die, willing to lose financial loss, you're willing to suffer financial loss for the sake of your brother, Onesimus. That is God's love. You understand what I'm trying to say? And then verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ, I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to. He didn't want to force it into his throat. Ask him to force him to forgive Onesimus and let go of Onesimus and suffer for Onesimus. And yet, I appeal to you on the basis of love. You see, on the basis of love, the definition of that love is 1 John 3:16. I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I'm writing you this letter while I'm in prison. Not for my own benefit, but for your own benefit and for the benefit of Onesimus. And why I'm saying for the benefit of Philemon? Because if he has this kind of genuine love, the Lord is going to reward him in the second coming. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And your labor in Christ will not be in vain. Your love will be remembered by Jesus Christ. And your love is following the pattern of Jesus' love, his sacrificial love. That means you follow Jesus. That means you are Jesus' disciple. That means you will be richly rewarded. So that's why it's for your own good. And secondly, for the good of Onesimus, because Onesimus experienced your forgiveness. Because Onesimus has already received the forgiveness from Jesus Christ. If my Lord Jesus has already forgiven him, how much more you as his servant, as Christ's servant? So you followed Christ's footsteps. And that is the argument he gave it. With this kind of argument, Philemon say, okay, I forgive him. I let go. You know what some people say? I forgive Daniel, but every time when I see Daniel, I turn around and find another way. You are not truly forgiving him. You understand? You forgive him, you can see him eyeball to eyeball. Don't sprinkle your eyes. Right? Then you forgive him. You don't run away. You look at him. Okay? You love him. Now, go. Verse 8 again. Therefore, although in Christ, I could be bold. Because in Christ, I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do. Why? As your pastor. Why? As your friend. Why? As your fellow worker. Why? As God's servant. Right? And beside, on top of that, I'm an old man. I've done so much good to you. And I'm asking you to do good to Philemon. I ask you to do good to Onesimus. Are you willing to do it? But he didn't want to force him to do it. So that's why, instead of order him to do it, now he appealed him to do it. Yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. You know what? This kind of request to your friend is very powerful. I could have ordered you to do it, but I don't. I appeal to you on the basis of love. Very likely people will back down. Because Jesus Christ is great in love, rich in mercy. If you did the same thing like Jesus did, and Jesus will treat you really, really well. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I can't appeal to you face to face because I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm not appealing and ask you to send money to me and feed me while I'm in prison. Or send me clothing. It has nothing to do for my own benefit. I'm asking, I'm writing this letter, not for my own good, for the good of my brother. You know what? Nowadays, I don't see that very many pastors doing that for another brothers. Or I don't see any other brothers doing the same thing for this brother. Stand up for Onesimus. So why? That's why this letter become Bible. Because Paul was so filled with the Holy Spirit, he write as if Jesus writing through his hand. I believe Jesus will do the same thing. Oh, very powerful man. You know, I put myself to be on the shoes of Philemon. When I receive this kind of letter, the pastor give thanks, always give thanks, always thanks my God, as I remember, as he remember me in his prayer. And I also heard that my faith is genuine faith, my love is genuine love, and he keep on praying for me to be active in sharing the faith. And you know what? If I did what Paul wanted me to do, I'm sharing the faith in action. I forgave him. Right? Wow, that's very, very powerful. When you read this letter to me is a love letter, you know? It's the love of Paul towards his friend, Philemon. I believe he cried, okay? Verse 10, I appeal to you for my son, not for his own benefit. I mean Paul's benefit. Appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chain, in prison. Because I met him in prison. You know, he sins against you. He ran away from Colossae and then go to probably in Romans, Rome. He got locked up. I met him. I shared the gospel to him. He suffered enough already. Formerly, he was useless to you because he ran away. He take away your money, right? He robbed you. You suffer for him. But now, he has become useful both to you and to me. You know what? Onesimus is precious in Paul's eye. It's precious in Jesus' sight. It's also precious in Onesimus. Let's say $1,000, assuming, okay? Or maybe 10,000. But that 10,000, if you have 10,000 more when you die, he's not going to help you anywhere. But if that 10,000 is done in the right place, in the life of Onesimus, in the future, God pay you back, God reward you, you say, thanks God that I met Onesimus, and now I get rich blessing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you do not have God's word, if you do not have faith in God, so I met this kind of person, I lose so much money, I hate him, I don't like him, right? You won't give thanks in all circumstances. Romans 8:28. For we know that God worked for the good of those who love him, right? So that's why we give thanks in all circumstances. Read that, 8:28. I believe in the future, Philemon will first of all thanks God, secondly thanks Paul, and thirdly thanks Onesimus, if he's richly rewarded, because he did exactly what God wanted him to do through the letter written by Paul to Philemon. And on top of that, and now we learn the lesson. Because without this incident, we don't know God's word, right? Now we know God's word. We know this is the right thing to do. Wow, thanks God of having such, you know, having such a beautiful letter, love letter. Formerly, Onesimus was useless to you, Philemon, but now Onesimus has become useful both to you, Philemon, and to me, Paul. Verse 12, I'm sending him back to you, who is my very heart. He didn't want to send it back because he's afraid that you may not exercise the love of Christ towards this brother that who sins against you. And Philemon is my very heart, and I'm sending him back to you. I'm afraid that you're not obeying me. obey my appeal to you. Not my order, my appeal. Okay? I'm afraid. And so that's why Paul saying that Onesimus is my very heart. If he get hurt, my heart is broken. Verse 13. I would have liked to keep him with me in prison, so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chain for the gospel. He wanted that. Paul shared his feeling. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me. You could have been helping me because when I'm locked in prison. I'm locked in prison not because I've stolen something. I'm locked in prison because of the gospel that I'm sharing. And you know what? If I don't share the gospel, you're not a believer. Now that you're a believer, you owe me to pay me back. You should take his place to help me in my prison. You know what I mean? But if I keep him, he can take your place in helping me. It will be for your own good. And verse 14, but I did not want to do anything without your consent. Forcing people to do it is no good. I appeal to you on the basis of love is good. So that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not false. Any favor you do will be spontaneous and not false. That means, what do you mean by spontaneous? That means you are moved by the Holy Spirit. If you obey the Holy Spirit, moving. If you sense the hands of the Lord is in you and motivate you, move you to do it, encourage you to do it, and you'll be richly rewarded. Not forced. Verse 15. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while, was that you may have him back for good. No longer back as a slave, but now back better than slave as a dear brother in Christ Jesus. You understand? Wow, that Paul's writing is so moving, eh? Can you imagine, eh? Take a look. I want you to see a picture. What kind of picture is? When Jesus Christ gonna judge you, he say, Enter. You have done this wrong and done this wrong. I don't know whether I should forgive you. Wow, your heart is beating faster. And then he said to you, because through my servant Paul, I write you the letter. And you exactly follow that letter and do more. Now I forgive you all. Wow, he said, thanks God. I don't know that. I've done such a great thing. He said, hey, Pastor John, are you telling me a story? No. Matthew chapter 18, if I forgive others, and my heavenly Father will forgive me. Do you know what? In our own life, a lot of people have sins against us. You keep that in our heart, we should let go. And forgive him or her. Remember that, and God will forgive me. Because of this letter, Philemon. This letter is a beautiful letter. So that's why last week when Etta say, no, Pastor John, I want you to follow one book. I say, well, that's good. Right? Do you see why? Ah, that's good. Is it good? Is this letter a good letter? Is it a love letter from Jesus Christ to us all? Showing us how to forgive others? And doing it, we feel happy too. And besides, never force people to do it. So that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason Onesimus was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. No longer a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. No longer as a slave, but rather as their brothers. That is much better than a slave. When he becomes your dear brother, he will serve you more faithfully. He is very dear to me. Can you see? Paul is afraid that he will not listen to them. Verse 12, he is my very heart. Verse 16, he is very dear to me, but even dearer to you. Wow, that is powerful. Right? Wow, how can you say no to that? Both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Wow, that is powerful. Both as a man, not as a slave, as a dear brother in the Lord. That's good. What he's trying to say is, the person you know, Onesimus, is not the same anymore. He's a new man in Christ Jesus. Could you read that? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any person is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. And right beside verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Read that.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
Before Onesimus come to know Christ, he was a slave. Now he gets set free in Christ Jesus. He become a brother in the Lord to Paul and to Philemon. He become very dear to Paul. He become his very heart. Wow. Become a dear brother too in the Lord. And very dear to me, but even dearer to you. Why is dearer to you? Because that person can cause you to get a great reward from Jesus if you do it. 17. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If you welcome him, that means you welcome me. If you receive him, that means you receive me. According to the gospel, if you receive me, you receive Jesus who sent me. You receive Jesus, you receive the Father who sent Jesus. That means you, if you love Onesimus, you love Paul, you love Jesus, and you love God. Does that make sense? 18. If he has done you any wrong or owe you anything, charges to me. Wow. Paul said, I'm going to pay you back. Paul is very rich spiritually. He's going to receive a lot of reward. He can pay back to the other people. And the other people say, when he see Paul face to face, say, Paul, thank you. I don't need you to pay me back. I have already been richly rewarded. But just in case you want Paul to pay back, Paul can pay them back. And Jesus will pay them back too. If he has done you any wrong or owe you anything, charges to me. Charges to my account in heaven. Verse 19. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. That means it is me who writing this letter. You reject it, that means you reject me and you reject Jesus Christ. I will pay you back, he says second time. I will pay you back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. You owe me your life because I lead you to Christ. I help you to grow. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. I do wish right now, not in the future, right now, brother, Philemon, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. What kind of benefit? Is to obey what Paul appealed to him, not ordering him. So in other words, I think it's the right thing to ask. Because if you sow the seed to cause someone to receive Jesus Christ and to have eternal life, we certainly owe it to that person. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ in this incident. You have already refreshed the heart of the saint. And I heard that. And that gave me great joy and encouragement. But I want you to refresh my heart in Christ as far as Onesimus is concerned. You understand? Confidence of your obedience. I know you will do that. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And that's good. Wow, that kind of letter. How can you say no? Verse 22. And one thing more, perhaps a guest room for me. I want to see you. Paul hoping that he will be released from the prison. He wants to stay with Philemon in his house because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayer. You know what? They love one another. I want you to write beside verse 22. You write down verse 1, verse 4 to 7. Okay? Write down 1, 4 to 7. Paul prayed for him. Paul always thank my God as he remember you in my prayer because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good things we have in Christ. And your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the heart of the saint. In verse 4 to verse 7, Paul gave thanks to God and Paul prayed to God on behalf of Philemon. And Philemon also prayed for Paul's release. You know what? If you receive that letter, you never pray for Paul release. You say, oh man, I'm sorry. I better pray now. You know what I mean? No, you know, and you know what he say? And one thing more, perhaps a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayer. The reason why I get released because of your prayer. He said, Lord, I didn't pray for you. Oh, forgive me. You know, I got to pray now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You understand? Right? Wow, this is a powerful letter, man. Epaphras. Who is Epaphras? Is my fellow prisoner in Christ. Send you greeting. I want you to write down Epaphras. You write down Colossians 1:7 and 4:12. Could you read that? 1:7 and 4:12, Colossians.
You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit.
Epaphras is a pastor to the church of Colossae. Paul has never been to Colossae, and yet this pastor come to the prison and asked Paul for advice as to how to deal with the problem in Colossae. And Paul write that letter to Colossians. Paul has never had that opportunity to go to Colossians. But the pastor is Epaphras. 4:12.
Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured.
And this pastor is a good pastor. Why? He pray for the saint all the time, and he teach the gospel all the time. Just like Acts chapter 6 verse 4. That is what the apostle has been doing. Devoted themselves in two things. Prayer and teaching. And this pastor did that. And now, when Paul write the book of Philemon, he mentioned his pastor. Because they are from Colossae, right? Okay? Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. And then in chapter 2, he said, I've never been there. I want you to know, chapter 2, verse 1, how much I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Paul did not have the opportunity to go to Colossians, and yet he ministered to this church, because the pastor come to him for advice. And in his book, he say, Epaphras is one of you. He is a servant of Christ Jesus. Send greeting. He always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. 1:7. You learn it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. This is a good pastor, man. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, send you greeting. And this fellow went to see Paul and learned so much from Paul. And when Paul write a letter to Philemon, Philemon know that his pastor is there. His pastor be the witness. Verse 24. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas later on, leave Paul. I want you to write down Demas. Unfortunately, this pastor loved the world. You write down, right beside Demas, you write down 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Demas, chapter 4, verse 9. Do your best to come to me quickly. Verse 10, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Okay? So, 4, 9, and 10. Right beside Demas, you write down 2 Timothy 4, 9 to 10. Verse 23, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, send you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus. I think Aristarchus, if I remember right, he's a saint in Thessalonica. Demas and Luke, my fellow workers, And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So that means Philemon was written before 2 Timothy. Later on, Demas did not obey what Paul said. Did not obey what Paul said, that means did not obey what Jesus said through Paul. He reject what Paul saying, that means he reject Jesus. Yeah. So that is for today. Verse 25. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Our Heavenly Father, just like how Paul ended this letter with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, if it is good for us to, for our faith to be strengthened by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is good for us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul prayed for Philemon and appealed to him, and I know that he did exactly what Paul has told him to do. He's an obedient child. He belongs to you. And through this letter, a lot more people get being encouraged of that. And this is also a letter of reconciliation between brother and sister, one who sinned against the other. And through this letter can help a lot of people to give good counsel to those brother and sister who have sinned against God. Lord, I pray that you help us to remember this letter. It's a good lesson for us to learn, one way or the other. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.